The text for our sermon this morning is our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Luke tells us about the Pharisees that they were watching Jesus carefully. There's an expression, I know you've heard it, and you most likely have used it too. He cannot see the forest for the trees. It means, of course, that a person is so busy looking at all the details of something that he does not see the big picture. He does not see what it all means. And this morning, I cannot think of a better way to describe the Pharisees from our gospel reading except to say they could not see the forest for the trees. Because Luke tells us that they were watching Jesus carefully. The Pharisees watched Jesus. They watched him very closely. They wanted to know where he was going, who he was with, what he was doing, what he was saying. They probably thought they knew Jesus' business better than his own disciples did. While we're thinking about that, it's actually kind of ironic that even though Jesus had told his disciples at least three times that he was going to die and rise again on the third day, they apparently did not remember him saying that. Because after he died, you remember, Jesus' disciples are all huddled together in the upper room behind locked doors. When he rose from the dead, they were not expecting it at all and did not even believe it had happened until he appeared to them himself, even though he had told them about it ahead of time. But do you know who did remember Jesus saying that he would rise again on the third day? Not his disciples. His enemies. They did not believe it, of course, but they remembered him saying it. That's why they went to the governor and asked for a guard to be placed at the tomb, because they remembered that he had said, after 3 days I will rise again. Because, as Luke tells us, they were watching him carefully. They were paying attention to what he did and to what he said, because they were worried about the huge crowds of people Jesus was drawing. People from all over were coming to hear his teaching. People were bringing their sick and their lame and their blind and their mute, and he was healing them. But he broke the traditions. He broke the rules. They had to do something about this Jesus guy. They had to discredit him before the people so that the people would not follow or listen to him anymore. So they were watching him closely. They kept track of what he did and what he said. They knew it all better even than his own disciples. But they were so busy looking and watching and keeping track of each tree, they couldn't see the forest. They were so preoccupied watching what he was doing that they didn't see what it all meant. They did not see how the things that he did, which they knew so well, were the fulfillment of God's promises. They could not see how the things that he said, which they also knew well and remembered, were what God had been saying all along since the beginning. Because they were watching him carefully, but they were not watching him carefully in order to understand. They were watching him carefully to catch him in a slip-up, so that then they could prove to everyone that he was the fraud and the charlatan that they had already decided that he was. Now, they were watching Jesus closely, not because they wanted to understand what he was saying. They were watching Jesus closely because they wanted to pounce on him. The second that he slipped up or misspoke, they would be all over him. They'd already decided that he was a fake and a fraud, so it was just a matter of time before he slipped up, and they wanted to be there and be ready when he did. Sort of like today, when different political candidates compete with one another for our votes. One candidate might give a long speech or a lengthy interview about a certain topic, and his opponent grabs a 5-second soundbite out of that interview or out of that speech and plasters it everywhere. They ignore the rest of the speech or the interview just to focus on the small part that makes their opponent look bad. That's what the Pharisees want to do to Jesus. But you never know when he's going to make his mistake, so you have to be watching him all the time. So strangely enough, some of Jesus' most persistent followers, aside from his disciples, were Pharisees and lawyers. And I do not call them followers in the sense of people who believed in him. I call them followers in the literal sense of people who literally followed him around. So Luke tells us that Jesus goes to a dinner party at the home of one of these Pharisees, and not just any Pharisee, but a ruler, a leader of the Pharisees. And they're watching him carefully. Now, did this Pharisee invite Jesus to eat at his home because he liked Jesus and was interested in getting to know him better? Maybe. Or did he invite Jesus to eat in his home because he was setting a trap? Maybe. Either way, they were watching him carefully. Have you ever been to a real fancy dinner party, more fancy than you're used to? And you go to take your seat and you look down at the table and there's like three forks over here and spoon over here and a spoon over here and plates all over the place. And you don't know what you're supposed to do. You look around and it seems like everybody else knows exactly what they're supposed to do and what they're supposed to use. And you feel like everybody's watching you, just waiting for you to mess up. Well, nobody's actually watching you, waiting for you to mess up. It just feels like they are. But that time, they actually were watching him carefully as they sat around the table together, just waiting for him to do or say the wrong thing. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. Dropsy was a form of swelling caused by too much fluid. So Jesus asks them if it is lawful to heal someone on the Sabbath. Now, a little while before this, they had already gotten angry with Jesus for healing a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, so he already knows how they're going to answer the question. They already know that he knows how they're going to answer the question too, so they don't answer it. They just remain silent. But to them, healing is work, and work is not allowed on the Sabbath, therefore, no healing on the Sabbath. They don't say anything, though. They just wait and watch to see what Jesus is going to do. Will he do it again? Did he learn his lesson the last time? Or is he going to do it again and heal this man? Will he break the Sabbath by healing this man? They're watching him closely. Isn't it strange that Jesus' enemies apparently watched and listened to him much more closely than his friends did? Of course, they watched and listened for the wrong reasons, that is true, but they still watched and listened. I wonder if Luke would say that about me. He watched Jesus carefully. Would Luke say that about you? He watched Jesus carefully. She watched Jesus carefully. Do you? Do I watch and listen to Jesus carefully? Do you watch and listen to Jesus carefully? Or do we think that we don't need to bother? Do we think, well, I pretty much know most of what I need to know already, if not all of it? I suspect that that's probably the case for the vast majority of us. We don't really watch or listen to Jesus all that closely. Isn't it strange that his enemies would be the ones who would watch and listen so carefully? And those who believe in him and follow him don't think we need to. Because we believe in him and follow him, so we don't need to listen anymore all that much. Once a week for an hour is enough, if we even listen to him that much. We have Bibles on our bookshelves at home. I know we all do. How often do they ever get opened up and read? They watch Jesus carefully. Would Luke say that about us, about me, or about you? Probably not. Probably not. Because the truth is, we don't. We think that because we already know what the forest looks like, we don't need to look at the individual trees in it. Forget that the forest is made up of those trees. We think that because we believe in Jesus already, we don't need to listen to him all that much or all that closely. We forget that faith comes by hearing. And the way for faith to grow and be strengthened is to listen to Jesus' words. But the Pharisees were not the only ones watching Jesus carefully that day. So was the man with dropsy standing right there before him. What will Jesus say to me? He would have wondered. So was everyone else who happened to be ill or sick. Everyone who was told, you're not good enough, go away, we don't want you around here. So was everyone who could feel the weight of their own sin on their shoulders, watching Jesus carefully. What will he do? What will he say? Will he ignore me? Will he say to me, come back tomorrow when it's not the Sabbath, and I can heal you then? What will he do? Is the kingdom big enough for me too? And so Luke tells us that Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. And before the Pharisees can even open their mouths to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath, Jesus says to them, which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? If your son fell into a well on the Sabbath day, would you stand at the edge of the well, look down at him and say, sorry, son, I'll pull you out tomorrow. I can't do it today because it's the Sabbath. Stay warm down there and walk away and leave him down in the well? Of course not. No father, no parent would do that. You would pull him out right away. That's the point that Jesus is making. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Of course it is. Of course it is. In Jesus, we see God. In Jesus' words, we hear God. What does God do? He heals a man with dropsy on the Sabbath. What does God say? He says, you will be blessed. What does God do for you? He gives his life for yours. You see it right there. He takes your sin away. He gives you his goodness. He heals you in the life of the world to come. And that's not just some pie in the sky wishful thinking. That's real. That's true. That's as real as him healing the man with dropsy. That's as real as three splashes of water on your head. Whatever you suffer from now, he will heal it then. He climbs in and lifts you up and carries you out of the well. What does God say to you? I forgive you. Your sins, though they be as red as scarlet, are now as white as snow. You are my child and I am your God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When things are bad, you are mine. When things are good, you are mine. The kingdom is big enough for you. The Pharisees watched him carefully because they wanted to catch him, to trap him. You and I watch him carefully because we know that in his deeds and in his words is healing and life and forgiveness for us. Watch. Listen. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.